I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Look at this guy. Look who we drained. He's in studio this time, usually on the horn, although he's been in here
love
a few times.
So. I always love coming in with you guys.
Jeremy Roenick.
You guys are the bomb.
Why? Because we're bald and your locks of hair make you look much younger than your age.
Listen, I got to make you jealous a little bit.
you do, man.
Talk sports all day.
Dude, look at him. It's ridiculous.
Roenick. And it grows fast, too.
Does it really?
Yeah, it grows real fast. Yeah,
Jesus.
I can get the mullet pretty quick. You know, lose a couple pounds, I'll get right back on there.
You're a hockey player, but please don't do that.
I asked him, by the way. We got to take this to the air too, because we were just BSing, kind of shooting the breeze before the segment. I said, how many fights did you have during your career? And you said about 40.
About 40.
And yeah. I said, how many did you win? And you said,
probably about 15.
And I said, that's all? But tell me why.
Because I fought all the tough guys. I went after the biggest guys. I fought Bob Probert twice. It wasn't my choice. He came after me, so I had to protect myself. Martin McSorley twice, Berube once. Mm. There's a guy named Mark Bell who played for about 8 years. He was 6'5", 6'4", 230 pounds. I fought a guy named Scott Walker, who was a really, really tough guy. Not very big in stature, but he was like a Ty Domi. I would never fight Ty Domi.
He's crazy.
Because he had like an iron head. Yeah. Right? It looked iron and it felt iron. And when you punched him in the face, he got excited and his eyes lit up and a smile came on his face and he just, you know, he started to drool and
yeah,
he just
those
loved
guys you
that
worry
stuff.
About.
Those are the guys that you worry about.
Who'd you beat?
Good question.
There were a few guys, but I only remember the ones that I lost because I got so mad that I lost. But I loved that I stuck up for myself. You know, when you fight the big guys, that makes you feel a bit better. When you're fighting the other guys and you beat them, it's no big deal.
Yeah, you're supposed to win. You don't feel good about those.
Well, you know, it's funny too because you know I'm sure it's a lot different now. But back in the day, if you turtled up when somebody was coming after you, I mean, you must have. What was it like in the locker room? When your guys knew that you turtled out of
there
a fight.
There were fights in the locker room. We had fights in the locker room.
Let's hear it. Wow.
I mean, when I started, number one, I wasn't a big hitter. And Mike Keenan turned me into a big hitter. So I was one of those guys that would run around and I would throw huge body checks on guys. I mean, I would knock guys out. I'd put guys into the benches, you know. All this crazy stuff.
Was it clean or was it dirty? I know it was aggressive. Were you clean or dirty early?
Then it was clean.
No, I'm saying,
I'd get suspended every week if I played the way now.
Oh, you can't play that way now.
So
that league's over.
But back then, that's how you could play that way. I could jump off my feet. I could target the head. I could take 3, 4, 5 steps and, you know, throw all my 165 pounds into them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you run around like that as a kid back then in the late 80s, early 90s, they were coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were going to play that way, you had to pay the piper, baby. You know, you have to stick up for yourself. And, you know, when someone wants to fight you, you fight, you get beat up, you get right back in there. It's the guys that turtled. It's the guys that ran around like today. The guys that run around, all they do is hit, instigate.
It's like a little bird pecking for a worm.
Then you go fight them, and they skate away.
Yeah, nobody
you
know, wants to see
you
that.
You couldn't do that back then. And not only that, back, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, there was no instigator. So if you did that, it's not like you're fighting once.
Yeah.
You're fighting once, twice, three, four times because guys would take turns coming at you.
Gotcha. That
so
makes sense.
There was a lot of you had to be accountable for the way that you played.
Well, you talk about accountability. You talk about good, I guess, the respect. There was always respect in hockey.
Sure.
There wasn't any showboating because you know that, you know, it's going to happen next. You're going to be
well, they looked each other right in the eye.
And
so let's go.
You're getting a fist to the jaw. You got to opine on this Carolina Hurricane situation where Don Cherry's calling them a bunch of jerks. You don't see celebrating in hockey because you'll get your butt kicked, right?
Well, is this
not
bad?
Not choreographed celebration.
Not during the game.
Yeah. I'm talking about this kind of hockey.
Okay.
This
Listen,
kind of
but let everybody know what's going on because for those who don't know, Carolina, when they win, they actually encourage their fans to stay in the arena. They have like,
they feign like a home run, like the bowling pins.
Yeah, the limbo.
They do all
like the touchdown
stuff,
celebrations.
Exactly.
And the fans love it, but I think a lot of people don't, like Don Cherry. So there you go.
Okay, well, let me preface this. I love Don Cherry. He's one of our greatest ambassadors as a hockey personality, and he does great critique. But he was in the 60s and the 70s. He coached when he coached. This was what would they create as a league? Maybe $200,000 of revenue.
Yeah. The blades weren't even curved.
There was
back
no
then.
Social media. There was no hype. There was no nothing. You know, they barely made any money. It was a respect kind of game where now it's big business. Okay, now you have people paying $150, $175 for a ticket. They're bringing family of four.
Yeah.
They're going out for dinner. They're coming to watch a game that they want to be entertained.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an entertainment where it's a $4 billion enterprise right now, the National Hockey League. If a team wants to go out and find a way to bring, sell tickets, to get people excited, to let people into their celebration, I think they're celebrating as a city what we all want to celebrate is wins.
And it's at home.
Huh. It's at home.
They don't do it on the road.
The team's gone that they beat. Listen, and they don't care if they,
it's
you
after
know,
the game.
What they feel like. They lost the game. They're in there getting ready to leave town. Now they're what they're doing is they're making their fans excited about an opportunity to celebrate together, and they're in their locker room figuring out what's the next thing we're going to do. There's nothing wrong with showing some excitement and pizzazz and some personality in a sport that most of the time you get, we did it 100%.
Yes. Or, you know, thank God you have this position.
Good answer, JR.
Because I would have had to beat you up at the end of different
positions. This is entertainment.
You might have won.
I will tell you this. I bet you that there are more people in the stands because they're liking the team and their charisma and their personality, and they're a better team to watch, but then they stay in their seats longer because they want to see what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, I think which means another beer sale or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Carolina Hurricanes are taking advantage of that. They're selling T-shirts.
It's a business and it's an entertainment.
I saw the T-shirts they have out there. Okay, so Jeremy Roenick is with us in studio. Should be a Hall of Famer. We say this all the time.
Thank you, guys.
It's absolutely ridiculous that you're not. We always have you back with this. You know that. And Jeremy, of course, doing a great job. He's honest, and he knows the game inside now. But as you can tell, he's evolving with the times. That's why I was kidding around. I'm like, thank God you take that position, because the last thing the sport of hockey, kind of like the sport of golf, needs is to have somebody your year away from 50. Exactly, even though you don't look it, but you're an old head. You're an old school hockey player.
No,
you know, you came up in the 80s. And if you were to come on our show and chastise Carolina and call them out, I think it would be very petty. I like that you get the big picture. Yeah. But specific to Don Cherry, who I also like, Kettle Black. He's up there making it all about himself with those wacky zoot suits. And now he's going to say that the Carolina Hurricanes are, come on, be consistent,
Don. I don't know if
deep
down inside he really likes it, but he wants to make a statement and keep his reputation
relevant
to a certain.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about this. Lou Lamoriello is, and he has been for basically 30 years, not good, great at what
amazing.
He does. He is amazing. Now he's with the Islanders. They lose their best player, Tavares. We all saw the picture over the summer with him with the Maple Leaf sheets, which was great. He went back to Toronto, might score 50 goals. You and I were talking about this before the show. He's played great for them. Can you explain to me specifically what Lou Lamoriello does that makes him special? Can you like make it tangible? Because I know he's great, but I want to know why.
I'm going to take it back further. When I was 7 years old, I used to go to hockey school in Providence College. When he
the Friars, nice.
When he was the head of the Athletics Association and one of the biggest hockey guys in Providence. They were winning NCAA championships back
then. The Beanpot Classic
they were winning national championships. So then he goes to New Jersey, right? And I heard rumors that he lived in a hotel. They actually got two hotel rooms. They broke down the wall. He lived in a hotel room right out in the Meadowlands, and he literally lived at the arena. So what Lou Lamoriello, and what do? They win championships in the 90s.
Yeah.
So then he goes to Toronto. What does he do? Toronto hasn't made the playoffs in 9 years. Lou Lamoriello goes, changes the team around. Now they're one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. Now he goes to the Islanders, right? And probably the surprise team of the National Hockey League.
Oh, definitely
so
surprise
what
team.
Does Lou Lamoriello do? He's married to the game. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Lou Lamoriello is in the mix. He is in the trenches.
But, Jeremy, there's got to be a lot of people who are married to their job, specific to sports.
Not like Lou Lamoriello. It is a different level. It's a different level. There's only one guy that I would think that might be close to them, and that's Ken Hitchcock, or the coach of the Edmonton Oilers. He's not getting he's not getting the results right now that he wants. But Lou Lamoriello, literally, it's a different level with Lou. You got to know Lou and understand his life to understand how deep he really goes into it.
Uh-huh.
And he's just a brainchild, and he hires the right people. He has the right mentality. He is a no joke person. You don't mess around with Lou. So when you play for Lou, you know you have to give 100%. So I love seeing him be successful. JR, I love the man. I really love him.
JR, the last time we had you on, maybe it was the first time we had you on, we were talking about these non-traditional hockey teams, right? The markets. Phoenix and the Coyotes is one.
Carolina.
A lot of guys live out there, Florida, which is making – you know, Arizona hockey.
Yep.
I remember you told us who was going to be the first overall pick.
That's right.
I forget what year it was.
He nailed it.
And he nailed it.
Two or three years ago,
yeah,
we told us
that. 2 or 3 years ago. Tampa Bay is another one.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't feel like a hockey bastion, but it has been. I remember my brother going to Lightning games down there. They have 92 points. I think the next closest team is 77.
15 points. Yeah.
It's why are they so good?
Well, number one, they had great leadership, and they had C.V. Eisenman was running the team for a long time, obviously. Mm-hmm.
The captain.
Yeah.
Stevie.
A brilliant guy. They brought on Mr. Vinnick, who is the owner. And what he did is he influxed a ton of money into the city, both with the hockey programs, building arenas, making sure that the kids had had access to not only the games, but playing floor hockey, street hockey, rebuilt part of the city. And then he put a team on the ice and really gave the team to the city.
Yeah.
Right? So... when you have a winner, number one, and then you have a team that shows how much they care about the community, where you take the kids into the schools, you know, the players into the schools, they're with the kids, they do promotional stuff, they give tickets away, they help the veterans. They do nothing but make that city better.
Yeah.
And the city responds by coming to the games.
And it shows, and it falls right in line with this program that you've been part of for a long time. You're the spokesperson. You're traveling around doing media tours.
Yeah.
Hockey, Kraft Hockeyville USA 2019. This is an amazing endeavor.
It really is.
A lot of these local hockey arenas, they get broken down. They need repairs. And this is a way for the community to get involved.
Right.
Via social media and others, particularly Hockeyville, crafthockeyville.com, you can enter. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah,
I know you've been doing this every year.
I appreciate you bringing it up. It's, you know, you talk about, you know, you played football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you wanted to get a football game, you get the kids together, you go out in the backyard, you get your friends together, you go out in the backyard, play football. You want a basketball game, get your buddies together, go play in the court. Baseball, same thing. For hockey, it's not that easy. You can't just go out in your backyard and play a game of ice.
No.
You play street hockey and all. But, you know, there's only like 2,300 arenas in the country. And for all the thousands of kids that want to play, what Kraft does is they're celebrating hockey. They're putting hockey in the forefront and trying to expose it to as many kids as they can. And they want to give the kids the best environment that they can. So they're celebrating the small towns, you know, the little Bodunk towns, the, you know, the small town America that has these kids that dream of being National Hockey League players, that have a little, you know, rundown arena that they play in, that they love, that the community loves. You know, when you take a kid to play hockey or any sport, you teach them to be competitive, teach them to be a team player, teach them how to win and lose gracefully.
Problem solving, man.
And you teach them to be healthy, right?
Hopefully you teach them to win more than 15 out of 40 fights.
Yeah, right. So these communities, they become like people's churches.
Sure,
they send their kids to learn this stuff. And every Saturday, everybody, you know, they gather there. The kids play hockey. The parents do all their things.
Yep.
And these arenas get broken down. So what Kraft does is they come out and they say, we're going to find the most passionate hockey community in America. And they have this competition where you can go on crafthockeyville.com, nominate your local arena, and tell us a story why your community is the most passionate. And then your community can rally around. You can get on social media. You can send pictures. You can have conversations on crafthockeyville.com, on Twitter, on Facebook, all the different areas. But what it does is it builds a community and it builds friendships. And it allows you guys to have a different kind of close-knit community that has rallied around to win something national, right?
Civic
and
pride.
Then what happens? They get $150,000 to put into that arena, right? To make that arena better for the kids. Then what they do is they bring the NHL and Kraft brings the National Hockey League to do an NHL preseason game right there in that arena that your kids play.
That's a great endeavor, Jeremy.
Aired on NBC, and to see the kids' eyes when National Hockey League players come into, you know, these little towns, sign autographs, take pictures, and then skate on the ice, you know, right in front of these kids. It creates dreams, and it's amazing.
That's the best. Jeremy Roenick.
Yeah, I will say they have up till March 2nd to go on crafthockeyville.com and nominate your arena. It is a great – this is the fifth year, and it's getting better year by year.
We'll tweet this out for you. Not a ton of time left. Jeremy Roenick, NHL on NBC, of course, former great center. Should be in the Hall of Fame. Ton of all-star games. Let's talk about young hockey players. Do you think it's easier to identify a young, a really like 4 or 5 years old, or whatever the age is where you can start to discern talent for hockey? Somebody who's going to be a great skater, or somebody's going to have a great stick work with the puck. What's easier to spot?
You can see the mind. You can't really see that. You can't really see the skating or the ability.
Yeah,
because kids that are younger are much more frail. They don't get their stride or their technique until they're 10, 11, 12 years old. On par. But what you'll see is their characteristics, where they go, where they pass the puck, where their tendency to drift, whether they know where their other players are, if they do pass the puck, and if they pass the puck to the right person.
Yeah.
That's the hockey IQ that's built into kids. And how the way that they view things, how the way they observe things.
Wow, so, I would have never thought of that. That's pretty. You're born with that, right?
And by the way, those are things that are instinct that you can't teach. So if they have that, you can always learn to skate. Mm-hmm. You can always learn to stick handle.
You can't learn to be fast.
You can't learn it's technique to be fast. Some people will never get the technique. Mm-hmm. It's definitely teaching will help you a lot. There's no question. But a lot of people like if you can't skate. The puck doesn't matter anyway.
That's true. Right? So no, that's true.
You can't get there. So
it's not going to find you, and you're not going to find anybody if you have it on your blade.
Exactly. So a lot of the young teaching right now, especially in USA Hockey, they teach the kids the fundamentals, how to skate right, how to hold the position right, how to use your edges to make sure that you can turn, cut, stop.
Leverage.
The mind, the brain is instilled in there, and repetition builds that. But it's the special players that you watch, that you know they have it at a very early age.
All right, settle this real fast. Wayne Gretzky, undeniably greatest hockey player of all time. Mm-hmm. Gordie Howe or Bobby Orr number two? Or somebody else?
I go Bobby Orr only because he revolutionized the way that defense was played. I mean, he's probably the only player that I can think of, maybe Gordie Howe too, the way he played, that could play in today's game the way he played back then.
Okay.
And I don't think there's many players that you can say that.
I got you. And this is embarrassing. I finally saw a young blood. I stumbled up. I finally, that's
Patrick Schrazy.
He didn't see it yet, so get on him.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not a hockey dude. I mean,
I stumbled on it.
So there's a black guy from Virginia. I mean, what do you say?
Kevin Weeks is on the NHL Network. He's a black guy doing hockey.
I played with a guy named Steve Thomas in Chicago. So Steve Thomas was in Youngblood at the time. He's one of the extras.
Oh, really?
So they had a bunch of NHL extras that were actually on the team sitting around watching.
What a movie. It's hysterical.
I got to check it out.
Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze were epic in that movie.
And it's so funny what we thought, you know, what represented an attractive female in the 80s. Like, you see her now, you're like, okay. But I'm sure in the 80s she was smoking.
His love interest, right? She was smoking. Absolutely. I had a crush on her throughout the 80s. You kidding me?
I got you.
And if I had to go up against Racky, man, I don't know if I would be able to survive, man.
Oh, my God.
That guy was mean looking, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And talk about dropping the gloves. He wasn't afraid.
Yeah, one of the most underappreciated hockey movies of all time.
That's awesome. All right, listen, we got to roll. Otherwise, we would do this a little bit longer. Again, should be in the Hall of Fame. We'll tweet the stuff out with Kraft.
Thank you guys.
It's a great
really
initiative.
It.
Good seeing you, JR.
Thanks,
buddy.
You guys are awesome.
No doubt, buddy.
Thank
Jeremy
you,
Roenick.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.